My name is Claudia Ellison, and I'm Director of Programs and Services at eHealth Initiative, and I'd like to welcome everyone to our webinar. Today's webinar is Transforming Healthcare Through Collaboration. Before we get started, though, I'd just like to go over a few housekeeping aspects. All your lines are muted, and so you don't have to worry about inadvertent sounds coming from the background. The audio and visual is done through ReadyTalk, and if you have any questions, there is a telephone number there, and please don't hesitate because we'd like you to be able to participate on this program. And we will be putting our slides up on the eHealth Initiative website, and there is the website link, and you can find those slides afterwards. Just a little bit about EHI. We're a multi-stakeholder collaborative advocating for the value of technology and innovation, and we've been doing this since 2001. In 2015, we released our EHI 2020 roadmap, and this was a collaborative process with our members, and the purpose is to enable a coordinated approach by both the public and private sectors to help transform healthcare by the year 2020. We are a multi-stakeholder collaborative, and you can see by this slide we've got, you know, organizations from all different sectors, payer, provider, vendor. And our key focus areas in 2016 are interoperability, privacy and security, business and clinical motivators, policy, population health, data analytics, and innovation. With those particular focus areas, in October, we're having an event, and we're going to be highlighting these particular areas along with our innovation showcase. So please take a look when you have a chance, and we hope to see you at this innovation showcase. This particular webinar is provided to us by Orion, and we want to thank Orion for all their support. And on that note, I'd like to introduce our key speaker, David Bennett from Orion. And David, would you like to please open up the call and say a few words about the program?
Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Good afternoon, everyone, or good morning, depending on your time. I'm really excited to actually have Joe O'Hare speak a little bit about what Horizon is doing. And I've gotten to know Joe quite a bit over the last year or so, and he's very, very passionate about provider engagement, really focusing on things like improving outcomes, driving down cost of care, and he's just very passionate about this area, and I think all of you will actually enjoy kind of his session and what he's talking about. In addition, he figures out how to coach two hockey teams. I just don't get it, how he does all this stuff. He's an amazing guy, so I think you're really going to enjoy Joe. And then I'll do a little presentation on what we're seeing in healthcare and how we're supporting some of the engagement strategies that Horizon's doing. And then we have Joel Gleason, our partner at TriZetto Cognizant, to talk about a new and exciting offering that we're jointly bringing to market. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Joe O'Hare.
Hey, thanks for that very generous introduction. So Horizon is a single-state Blue Cross Blue Shield plan, 3.8 million members, the majority of whom reside in New Jersey. And we like to think we have one of the more challenging environments of states across the country. So if we move the slide one, please. And so here in New Jersey, our healthcare cost inflation is dramatically outstripping market inflation. I'm sure all of us are kind of used to that, but in New Jersey, it's a little more acute. And our challenges make the opportunity for Horizon to produce and sell a market-based insurance product that's affordable by most of our employers and individual consumers is very difficult. So here in New Jersey, our population is aging at a rate faster than the rest of the country. Part of that has to do with the actual complexion of our population here today, as well as outmovement of jobs as some employers move to more hospitable market environments with regard to tax and labor issues. So our replacement population is dwindling. Our population is aging. We we are somewhat unique across the country in that we, as a payer, it is very difficult for us to have providers who are out of network because our out of network regulations here in the state are quite onerous. So we end up paying charges for any patient who presents in an emergency room and is treated in that emergency room or in a subsequent hospitalization directly linked to that ER visit. And that has led us to use a market strategy of having as much of the provider, both professional and facility, base in New Jersey, be par with our network. And that that within itself is inflationary. So it adds inflation to an already difficult space. Slide, please. And so you can see this here. These are our average premium rates on exchange products compared to the rest of the country, and our average cost per capita on healthcare. So we're much more expensive than the rest of the country. Slide, please. But we don't necessarily get a lot for all the extra money that we spend. So even though we're fourth across the country in total spend per capita, our on quality measures, on average, we rank about 15th. On a number of specific, we actually rank in some of the bottom states. So in dollars spent in the last 6 months of life, I think we're number 49. In the use or the inappropriate use of certain high-tech diagnostics, we're up around the 47, 48. And there's a number of other indicators where we tend to rank below the rest of the country on quality. So about 5 years ago, our company, at the behest of our board, embarked upon a program of change. Slide, please. And while our newfound or our newly created organization was called Horizon Innovations, was chartered with identifying any and all possibilities for bringing change to the New Jersey marketplace that impacted both cost and quality, we eventually focused on three key deliverables: accountable care organizations, patient-centered medical home, and episode of care. We continue to pursue a lot of investigation and pilot-based programs around patient engagement, provider engagement, new technologies, all of it coming out of our innovation center. But these three programs encompass the majority of our innovation dollars at this point in time. And very simply, what you can see is our program production aligns with the traditional pillars of the healthcare community. So we are doing accountable care with large integrated delivery systems, usually centered around hospitals. We're doing patient-centered medical home in the primary care settings, and we're doing episodes of care with our specialty providers. And you can see the growth there year over year on a plot map in the state. Slide, please. And we've seen success. So on both quality and cost, we've been able to measure success across our programs. Has it been earth-shattering? No. But it's been enough to convince our board and our senior management that this innovation, population-based approach should be moved from a pilot basis to a strategic enterprise foundation basis. So today, all of our new products, all of our new network development is built around what we either describe as patient-centered or population health approaches to care delivery. I'm going to flip through a few more slides on why. So here we see one of our ACO providers, and what you see for this partner here was, I think, something that everyone would like to see in any of the population health programs that you're doing around the country: a migration of care from the acute settings into the community-based settings. So while this partner was able to drive down their inpatient and outpatient their cost and utilization, we saw a slight uptick in their professional utilization. Their as a partner, this partner here, outperforms most of the state on most of our quality measures. Slide, please. We've built programs in not just for broad population base, but we've built programs particular to our Medicare Advantage population here, our pediatric population, our Medicaid population. So we find partners that fit the model that we're trying to reach, and we work closely with them to develop programs with impact that make sense for both Horizon, the provider partner, and our patient population, and that can fit easily under a traditional insurance product type approach. Slide, please. Our closest to origination is our Episodes of Care program. So it's the one we started last. And definitely found the most challenging because as we move from specialty to specialty, we encounter different challenges with each condition, each procedure, whether it's with reporting or whether it's identifying measures that that can identify clear outcomes for the particular condition or procedure. But our focus on episodes is engaging specialty partners who are interested in rethinking about how they deal in an episodic setting, moving away just from the services or the procedures they provide and thinking about whole episode care, working with a patient and other members of the care team, whether they're employed under their practice setting or under another, to deliver a full, cost-efficient episode. Slide, please. And what we've seen even on the episode side is that we can, one, improve quality, and two, improve the cost measures. Slide, please. And we've been able to do it in multiple specialties, okay, and multiple conditions, multiple procedures in the same specialty. Slide, please. So what I'm just kind of flipping through here to give you a flavor for where we've been, right? We're obstetrics, cancer care, orthopedics, GI, cardiology. We expect to roll out to several other specialties this year and next year. And then the challenge is to get engagement with your specialty partners when you can only start with one or two conditions within a disease or a body area where they could have many, many service types. And the way we've found that works is by sharing information. And that has been the key to all of our work so far, whether it's the patient-centered medical home, the pediatric-centered medical home. We look for partners who are willing to work with us towards transforming whatever site of care, procedure, condition it is that we're looking to address. And then we bring data, and data transformed into information to help change the decision-making at the point of care. And that requires a flexibility on the part of the payer. Slide, please. That I don't think has been traditionally seen in our marketplace. So I think there are a few payers who, you know, go back 10 years, were willing to go to the level of granularity on sharing data and making it applicable to the situations that Horizon has found it necessary to do. So, for example, if we're working with orthopedists on total joint replacement, we want them to understand all of the other treating physicians during the episode of care. We want them to understand the performance of some of the subacute settings and the physical therapists that they could refer to as the patient is discharged from the acute setting. And we want them to understand those partners not only on a personal basis, but we need to understand them on a quality basis in terms of what are their outcomes with regards to the specific condition that they're referring the patient for, and the cost profile, so outcomes and cost profile for those partners. And they need to understand their patient so they know that they're getting their patients into the right setting. You know, different patients coming from a whole host of different backgrounds, whether it's family setting, chronic condition or comorbid condition, predisposition, all sorts of issues that could drive different outcomes that has to be available to the treating physician at the point of care in an easily accessible way. So to kind of, when I say that, I emphasize it. When we started out with our patient-centered medical home partners, that was our initial programs, we were delivering data in Excel spreadsheets. And we thought it was brilliant, and probably then it was. But what we recognized was that there was only a handful of partners who were willing to take the time and do the sorts that we had enabled in those spreadsheets to help them better cohort their patients, to better prioritize their patients, to do pre-visit planning. And we went out and we showed them and we trained them. And what we recognized was is the more facile, the more immediate, and the more pertinent we could make the data, the more likely they were to use it. So we have begun a journey in terms of sharing and working closely with our provider partners to figure out what are the data elements that will make any particular decision engagement point more fruitful, and how can we get it there in a way that it's the treating clinician, whether it's a physician, nurse caregiver, MA, PA, that they're willing to seek out that information because they can get it in a timely and an easy fashion. And so that's what brought us to our decision point about working with Orion and on their platform to better deliver information to our partners. And what Dave will now talk about is more broadly about that solution, that technology solution. But for us, you know, very briefly, it's a solution that we're going to use in many different ways to deliver information to our episode of care partners, our patient medical home partners, our accountable care organization partners, as well as many treating physicians in New Jersey who haven't even begun working in some of our programs yet. So it's our expectation that even if they haven't entered into a value-based program, we will eventually be trying to deliver information at the point of care for all PAR providers, whether it be acute care settings or subacute ambulatory. And what we needed was a platform that could support us in whatever venue, whatever situation our provider partners were going to be seeing our patients, our members. And Dave, maybe we could jump there to your opening slide, I think.
Yep. Yeah, thank you, Jill. That was fantastic. Let me make a couple comments about what Jill was talking about and kind of set the context a little bit for what's happening. I think most of the audience probably knows this, but we're really shifting to an ecosystem approach in healthcare. And I think Horizon and what Joe's real passionate about is actually a great example of an organization that's moving there quite quickly, and you know, is really focusing on, you know, the what I would call the cognitive support at the point of care, and not only for the providers but also the caregivers, the care coordinators, the patients, the members, the consumers. So they're taking a very holistic approach and using technologies, and I'll talk about some of the technologies that actually support the patterns that they require for kind of this multi-channel, kind of engagement model out to this ecosystem. And Horizon's in a unique position where with the coverage across New Jersey, the number of members, and the amount of data they have, they can actually provide pretty liquid environments for high collaboration that are really designed to, you know, improve quality, improve outcomes, and drive down costs long-term. So next slide. So I know this, all the buzzwords on population health and precise medicine, but I did want to put this up here for a couple reasons. Obviously, population health means we're shifting to a model of being much more proactive about care, and that pattern today, for the most part, is based on evidence-based medicine. Not that it's bad. It has its capabilities, but we know that in the future, it's going to shift more and more to precise medicine, and I'll tell you a story a little bit about precise medicine at its best. But even Joe, if you get a chance to ever ask him questions, they're really pushing on this precise medicine, too, to provide, you know, very targeted cancer care for their patients. So you're going to see more and more of that come from the insurer and from the health system to really get down to the point of providing personalized or precise or micro-stratified population care, which means all of us need to be much more proactive kind of in our care models, which in reality requires new systems, new technologies, things like systems that are real-time, that don't require truck-loading data to different workflow engines or patient engagement or provider engagement tools. It needs to be all sitting on a single solution. Next slide, please. So one of the other big patterns that we're seeing is the explosion of data and all different types of data. These data sets range obviously from the clinical data to the claims data to the pharmacy data to now the device data around wearable technologies. You're going to see folks like Medtronic and other professionally manufacturing device manufacturers actually create all kinds of specialized devices, insertables, injectables, all different types of things you're going to see. And I think this data, if you look at what could happen from a patient perspective over the next 5 to 10 years, you could have, you know, up to 2 terabytes of data for a single person. And that two terabytes of data really should start driving a much more precise care plan for these individuals. So when you think about that, you have to think about systems that can handle different data sets, not your traditional clinical and claims and pharmacy data, but all these other different data sets. And some of these data sets are serialized data sets, they're streamed, they're unstructured. Some of them are very large files, like variation data, so it requires very different systems. And we think these systems are going to be in solutions like Horizon will be offering out to their network and to their both patients and providers. Next slide, please. So I'm going to tell you a story about this that will fit right into it. But if you think about the data that I just showed on the previous slide of what the human could signal from all these different data sets, how is a clinician ever going to make a decision on that many variables in 15 minutes if they're seeing a patient? The reality is they're not going to be able to do it. So I think Joe's point of making data available at the point of care that's meaningful is going to be absolutely critical, and it's going to require real-time systems. Most of our systems today haven't been built that way. They're built in a way where there's a transactional system that dumps it into an operational store, which then dumps it into a data warehouse, which then does the analytics and then dumps it into a workflow engagement engine. You're not going to be able to do that in the future. You're going to have to tie these systems together. And to do it in real time for these providers, you're going to need tools that can stream that data in real time. So that's a really critical piece of it. And the human brain, as most of you know, can only handle a couple of variables. So when you're talking about 1,000 variables, you need cognitive support to actually handle this. Next slide. So I'm going to give you a real-life example of that. I have a son named Carter Bennett, and many of you probably know what cystic fibrosis is. He's the eighth grader on the left-hand side, and I put that picture up here because I'm going to tell you a story about a new drug specifically designed for him and what it's done for him. And many people that know CF know that the kids have lab issues. He was going in the hospital. In fact, this year, I think his eighth grade year, he only got to play 2 games because he got in the hospital and had a PICC line and was in there about 10 to 12 days and then 10 to 12 days at home with that PICC line to clean out his lungs. They get infections really bad. Their pancreas is blocked, so they have thrive issues. Typically, lung function is decreasing a percentage, probably 3 to 5% every year. Many of them need lung transplants by the time they hit 20, and often many of them die before their mid-30s or so. So this is a very, very tough disease. And as you can see, the seventh grader is bigger than my son on the left-hand side, number 70, Carter, the eighth grader. Next slide. So about 4 years ago, a new drug came out for my son from a company called Vertex that actually was designed to fix his variation, his mutation. His variation was a specific variation that 4% of the CF kids actually have. We went to the doctor, and this is an example of how we're not providing our docs with the right tools and the right data. Went to the doctor, and I live in the Phoenix metro area, which has about 4.5-5 million people, and we have one CF clinic, Phoenix Children's Hospital, and went into the doctor, said, "Hey, I'm very excited about this new drug coming out next month," and my doc paused, said, "He can't take that," and I said, "No, he has that variation," and he says, "No, he doesn't," and I said, "He does. Go look through his paperwork." So he looked through about 50, 60 pages of paperwork and found that he had that variation, looked at my son and said, "That's a game changer." Now, if you just pause there for a second, my doc is a great doc. He knows his stuff really well, but he just didn't have the tools. He didn't have the tools to take care of a kid that has, you know, a disease set where there's a new drug and a new therapy designed specifically for his mutation. And this is where it's going. It's going with cancer. You're going to see that, and you're going to see with other disease states, and it's going to happen quickly. So now if you look at him his junior year, he doesn't look like he has thrive issues. He played football his last 3 years of high school. He was going in the hospital every 3 months to 4 months. He had a sinus surgery every year. He had bronchoscopes all the time, and he had two other drugs that he had to take that he doesn't have to take now that was quite expensive. And today his lung function has stabilized. So if you look at precise medicine, this is precise medicine at its best, and it's going to change the world. And the sad thing is that many patients, members, providers just don't have the cognitive support. They don't have the data to actually provide the right care for these patients. And I think it's going to get worse with all the new data sets coming out there. So having data synthesized and analyzed and provided in the right context at the right time for patients and docs is going to be critical. Next slide. So he's on the left-hand side here, number 63. He actually became a captain of the football team. And he got very big, 6'2", 225, and became a really good player. In fact, to the point where some colleges offered him a scholarship. He wanted to go to law school, and really football is still tough on him, even with CF, because the breathing issues. But this is a great story of a kid that honestly couldn't have went off to college on his own. He just finished up his freshman year of college, and he stayed in the dorm. He can take care of himself now. He's a big, strong kid. He hasn't been in the hospital one time, and has zero exacerbations, no ED visits, no bronchoscopes, and no sinus surgeries in 4.5 years. So it's a great example of where precise medicine is going and what it can do for these kids. Now, if you think about all the things I told you, what's important? You know, we need to understand new data sets. We need to understand how to be much more proactive about care. We need to understand real-time sending data and information not only to providers but patients and members. So, you know, think about those patterns, and I'll talk a little bit now about the technologies required to support that. Next slide. So one of the things that Horizon and Orion have been working really hard on for many years was creating a platform that was very, very open that could handle any kind of data set. So if you remember that the person where I showed you all the different data sets that would build up that 2 terabytes, we needed to build a system that not only supported our customers today, but supports them tomorrow when they do take in variation data or wearable data or professionally monitored data or social or behavioral data to actually drive their care. So we needed a system that was much different than traditional systems today, more of a system of engagement. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. Next slide. So what's needed? We think a different kind of patient record is needed, a patient record that is much more focused on engagement, so it's much more actionable. It's not just, you know, the clinical claims and pharmacy data. There's some alignment. There's some analysis. There's some integrated models. There's some calculations and aggregations done on it. There's care plans with it. There's all other kinds of maybe machine learning on it that actually provides more actionable information directly to both providers and patients. So we think that system has to look much different than traditional patient records of the past that are just archives. Next slide. So what kind of technologies did we use, and what is Horizon using to actually support some of the problems that Joe talked about and support some of their future desires? So the technologies that we actually built this on are open source technologies, but they're cloud distributed compute technologies. So the first one that I want to talk about is Cassandra. Cassandra, many of you maybe heard of it, many of you haven't, but if many of you have Apple devices, you use it every day, actually, because Apple has 80,000 nodes deployed on this. And when you think about Apple and you think about all the data sets they support music, they support notifications, messaging, they support video files, backups, you know, just all kinds of data they support in this cloud environment, this Cassandra environment. Which sets up the model of I can support any data set, just like things Horizon will need to support all these different clinical and social and behavioral and genome data sets. So it's the same model and handle all those different data sets, but it also supports something that's critical for consumers. You won't use the applications if they're not real-time. So you need systems that support real-time transactions, real-time intelligence, and Cassandra is the number one data platform in the world for these cloud companies. And it's probably the most scalable one in the world. So you see folks like Netflix and Twitter and Instagram, and people wouldn't use Instagram or Twitter if it didn't happen in real time. It just wouldn't happen. And those patterns in themselves are quite unique, because if you look at Instagram and Twitter, it's a post of a short message and all my followers see it in real time. Well, imagine what biometrics look like. Biometrics are wearable devices, either glucose reads, blood pressure reads, weight reads, or even activity reads, or professionally managed devices are designed the same way. They have a post that's a quick post, a fast write, and a fast read that all the followers will see it. And the followers in the healthcare context would be that circle of care. It'd be provider, payer, care coordinator, caregivers, specialists. It would be all those people that would be part of that kind of trusted network that was set up either by the patient or guardians of the patient, whoever that might be. So if we didn't use technology like this, essentially we couldn't handle that fast write, fast read. So we had to use technologies that some of the best in the world are using to support this kind of capability, because we think the patterns of healthcare are going to shift towards proactive and real time. And if they're not real time, most of us will delete those apps from our iPhones and iPads and all those kind of things. So it's critical that you have that. The other thing we did was we looked at technologies to drive streaming analytics and real-time analytics for the calculations and aggregations. So not only could we ingest all the data sets, but we can actually turn them into some knowledge and wisdom that can be leveraged by the providers and patients in real time. And Spark SQL is the number one kind of real-time analytics, in-memory analytics engine in the world. In fact, there's 40-plus operations now. It's designed to be open. It supports SQL natively. It has plugins to third-party BI tools, plugins to R, machine learning, SAS, SPSS, any of the kind of tools that you can imagine for analytics. It plugs natively into the Spark engine. And it's, again, one of the leading in-memory streaming analytics engines in the world. And then the final piece of the puzzle is our Elasticsearch engine, which is used by Bing and many other folks to build out the registries so we can support high-performance ad hoc queries, so Google-like speeds or Bing-like speeds, where a provider could be remote hitting Horizon system and ask a couple questions about, did this person, or tell me all the people on my panel that had immunizations done this year. They could ask simple questions like that, and they could pop it back in real time. You need different tools to do that. If you do it on traditional data warehouses and traditional BI tools, you won't get the scale into the community like a Google or a Bing does. So we needed to leverage some of those core technologies that those guys use to actually drive that real-time ad hoc query capability. So that was the key kind of technologies we used. Now, Joel, in a little bit, is going to talk about a combination of a solution that Trizetto and Orion have put together called Transform that's very, very exciting, that is a broad focus on payer and provider-owned plan segments that's really designed to solve kind of end-to-end solution, and I'll let Joel talk a little bit about that. But again, these core technologies today are all running on AWS. They can run on-prem, and we're working with Microsoft right now and potentially Google to actually port them to Azure too. So we're not real religious about where these run, but it's, they're really designed for cloud and distributed compute. And there's value in that for our customers, because Joe might decide that he wants to run some analytics jobs, some R jobs or SaaS jobs that he has. He can run 50 nodes, 100 nodes on that Spark server, spin them up on the data sets, put them into the Elasticsearch, and then have real-time ad hoc queries on that very, very quickly, all in a single system, and only pay for the compute for running that model during that time that it was running. So it provides some nice elastic capability and capability to deal with data sets in the future, because if we do get to 2 terabytes per patient, we're going to have some issues trying to do this on-prem. So public cloud is going to be really important for that. Next slide. So one of the key things that we did in the stack, and this, and Joe, if you ask him any questions on it, one of the key things that's really important to you, to not only Horizon, our customers, and us, was to take a very open approach to the entire stack. So we're open at every layer, from the bottom layer, like through Spark, like I talked about, through Elasticsearch, but also we're open at the top layers, so we expose all the data services, the clinical, the claims, the pharmacy, the genome data, the biometric data, all through APIs. Where standards are in place, we use FHIR for the clinical. Where there's not standards, we'll just publish a standard for the organization. In addition, we expose things like business services, privacy service across the entire system, which is really powerful. And then we expose things like clinical services that could be, you know, here's my circle of care, here's my relationships, here's my activity stream for this patient. So there's a lot of different types of APIs we expose. So there's innovation that can occur on this platform outside of anything we provide. In addition, all the analytics that we run on the platform are also served up as APIs. So a panel can be served up to a provider partner that maybe has a good care management or care coordination solution. So again, we've made this whole stack very, very open. And some of it is hedging, you know, because we don't know who's going to win the consumer-patient engagement model. So we want to play a game where we can support all kinds of channels, from direct integration through EMR systems, through APIs using FHIR, through non-standard APIs, through aggregated APIs, through mobile apps. So we wanted to figure out any way possible to connect to both providers and patients long-term. And again, we did it in a way where we kind of put a management layer on top of the APIs so we can control access to the APIs from a security perspective, and we can also control throttling so nobody can hit your system and take it down because they're using denial of service techniques. So it was really designed in a way where we can monitor those APIs and manage those APIs for you, because as you expose those out to your own partners or Horizon exposing it out to other vendors or their own development team, they want to make sure they're protecting that data and that core system from any anybody taking it down in any way. So now the next slide is Joel's, I believe. I want to turn it over to Joel, we do have some questions later, but Joel Gleason and I have been working for quite a bit of time now, and we've actually in the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've been in conferences, and we've met with many, many payers. And one of the hottest topics was this technology called Transform, both at the Blue Summit and at the healthcare conference recently with TriZetto. The amount of interest in this and the amount of, just like what Joe's doing from the payer community is really exciting. And I think collectively, both service and technology, we believe it's the leading solution on the market today. So, Joel, I'm going to turn it over to you now so you can actually introduce Transform.
Yeah. No, thanks, Dave, and Joe as well. And I think, great setup. I think, between, Joe, Dave, myself, I think we're kind of kindred spirits here. We look at this, through a common lens, this movement to value, and ultimately kind of a patient-centric, motivation, and how do you help, ultimately create these virtual communities, the need for a different pattern of computation and movement to precision medicine. And to me, especially being over on the payer side and watching kind of this, I'll say this payer movement towards consumer, and how do you engage that consumer, that member, in a much different way? The things that we come to expect, in our daily lives, whether we're shopping on Amazon, whether we're getting something off of Netflix, our banking apps, these things that we expect in a very much mobile-first experience, and that type of engagement and rewarding, if we're wearing our Fitbits and our dashboards, these are the things that we come to expect in our daily lives. And yet, in healthcare overall, other than there being lots of standalone apps, you know, is there a way to create this virtual integration? And I would say that, as Dave indicated, you know, working with many organizations, you know, like Horizon across the country, this need to create, you know, kind of virtual integration, being able to create greater engagement, but leverage this data with the fundamentals of, you know, this movement to value really across the country, and ultimately this concept of, can we get much more precise in how we care not only for our patients but our members? And when we look at, you know, from a TriZetto-Cognizant perspective, you know, what we've been doing in other markets, you know, like retail, finance, banking, the markets that have gone before us, especially around consumer engagement, is there ways for us to accelerate this, but not do this through, I'll say, single channels, individual apps, and try to tie those together behind the scenes? And I think, you know, Dave and myself are very much kindred spirits in that you have to create a very open platform, one that is able to aggregate and orchestrate not only clinical data, and certainly the heritage that Orion has had for many, many years, a couple decades, but is there a way to pull in, you know, I'll say the TriZetto-Cognizant heritage of financial data? And again, same theme, is there a way to pull this clinical data in real-time streaming the same way of being able to reach into the financial data, especially with our, you know, our 400 platforms across the country with payers, is pull into a much more real-time experience? I'll go to the next slide. And, you know, I think what we've been seeing is this concept of there's many systems of record. Heck, I think of, you know, our FASTs, our QNX platforms as systems of record. You know, the EMRs, you know, the Cerner, Epic, Allscripts are systems of record. You know, with this platform, as Dave indicated, being able to orchestrate that data and creating systems of collaboration. So now through the API and the event management, we're actually able to start to dip into our financial systems, our PBM systems, lab systems, as well as real-time clinical systems to start to orchestrate that data away from what I'll say, you know, the classic transactional system into a systems of intelligence, so that now we're able to create kind of a true 360-degree view that's got both your social data, clinical data, financial data. You're able to aggregate that so that when Joe needs to have more or less just-in-time quality metrics and reporting versus, gosh, I got to wait for that, you know, 30 days, 60, 90 days for the claims data to come through. I've got to potentially get a batch load of clinical data in as well. What if we can feed that information back so that now we can better direct our medicine and our care in a more prompt fashion, you know, through real-time analytics and engagement? We think about this movement to virtual care, and I think there was a study that just came out of California that 50% of healthcare over the next few years will be delivered in alternative settings. So very much, you know, can we move it into more of a virtual, more of a real-time kind of a streaming perspective so that, again, you're not going to have the bricks and mortar. So with our platform, again, in conjunction with Orion and our, I'll say, our financial engines, we're creating systems of intelligence that allows for the ability to aggregate and create context and actionable real-time learning from the data, again, using many concepts that we've used in other markets from a Cognizant perspective, but then use that data to create what I'll call our transform apps, so apps that will be directed towards engaging with the consumer. They could be, and I'll show a couple examples of this. So thinking about from day one, when that individual may be on the exchange, maybe on the individual market that's actually shopping for healthcare, can we help guide them in a very much mobile, very friendly fashion to start making those decisions around their healthcare from day one? I mean, we do this, you know, when we're out on Amazon shopping. We do this in our daily routines where we get our profile set up, we enter our financial information, we select things that we want, and then ultimately, over time, we even get recommendations around what's the best, you know, best suited for us. But we want to do the same thing, starting with shopping, moving down into being able to manage our financial benefits. So think about going to one location, same place where you were shopping, to see what you owe, to see what your EOBs look like, and being able to even provide virtual payment, you know, through that, I'll say, that transform app store. But as well as now that we've got, you know, that foundational relationship with Orion, think about that same spot to start being able to pull in my clinical record, you know, from the EMR, from the hospital, from the primary care doc. And if I'm at home, and I've got my insulin pump, or I, you know, happen to be wearing my Fitbit today, the steps can also be included into that 360-degree record, which, again, is not only available to me so that I understand what's happening in my healthcare from the point of shopping, understanding my financial considerations, and even understanding what's relevant from a clinical perspective about me, putting that into a very mobile-first experience. And that's what we're doing with our Transform apps that we're delivering really today for a variety of our early-stage customers. But in addition to that, what we've found in the many meetings that, that Dave and I have been in over these past many months is that the need for the ability to orchestrate this data so that some organizations may want to create their own apps, their own use cases, their own business models from that orchestrated data. So we're very, very, you know, disciplined around the platform. You have to have this platform first to orchestrate the data, create context, and then either look to those apps that we will create or potentially those apps that organizations want to create their own, as well as even being able to orchestrate unique insights and analytics, you know, off of that streaming data. So we believe this movement, you know, from what I say our classic systems of record, which we can't go away, we're going to continue to use our claim systems, our EMRs, from a systems of record, but using a platform approach to truly move to a system of intelligence and a system of engagement, in some respects being done in other markets, but now move this into healthcare. Go to the next slide. And I think as Dave indicated, you know, this is not easy. This is no easy undertaking, but I think as Dave hit on, how can we leverage a lot of our pre-built connectors, right? So I think, and this is why, you know, when Dave and I met, gosh, it's you know, some time ago, and we thought about this concept of, you know, clinical data, the connectors, and what Orion's been doing for many years in the clinical space, creating context, and on the Cogstin TriZetto side, thinking about the many, many payers that we work with every day and how we can create, you know, context and create real time off of that, but also whether it be down the road with genomics, you know, the devices, like I said, insulin pumps, et cetera, they hit on that a little bit, orchestrate that through using our pre-built connectors and our heritage, bringing those through into a very open data platform, again, that allows us to either do A, push those into the apps, right? So think about that as the Transform App Store, as well as being able to make that available through the FHIR API layer for other third parties to leverage and use in their systems, and it could even be for reporting, as well as the concept of creating kind of real-time analytics that helps Joe help and manage kind of where the opportunities, the gaps, and where the trends are, as well as the potential to move this into big data stores, whether those be part of the Orion and TriZetto team or even into some of the third parties that are doing a lot of big data science. We believe that having a platform that orchestrates the information and it creates the opportunity for experiences and engagements really focus out that consumer member, but also underneath the covers, being able to create the analytics that we truly need to drive where Joe is going around value-based care, and certainly the example that Dave uses around precision medicine. Play the next slide. And so just a couple examples. Again, we thought about this as starting from day one, from shopping. So how do we create the simple and easiest shopping experience for our consumer member and then over time be able to push recommendations, right? Just as you get recommendations when you're shopping online, you know, from Amazon and others, same concept as we go through your, you know, managing your care and your health, you know, throughout the year as events happen, being able to push those recommendations right back up front from a shopping and comparing perspective. Next slide. Again, think about having that longitudinal record. So this is extremely important for Joe and the team, not only including what's happening on the clinical side from the community base, could be the hospital, could be primary care, you know, generally thinking about from a community perspective, but now streaming in the financial data that's also happening around that consumer member so that we truly have a full picture of a longitudinal patient record. Next slide. And then, you know, Dave hit on this a little bit. Absolutely, the movement to devices, and Dave, I think, mentioned Medtronic as a great example. You know, and they're on the same journey. They're on this journey towards value-based care and, you know, creating, you know, the best outcome. So, again, having a platform to be able to orchestrate streaming through that device data, and, again, could be an insulin pump, could be a cardiac monitor, could be like my Fitbit, but ultimately being able to orchestrate that back through in real time, because then again, gaining more insights from the devices and tie that back to that longitudinal record, both from a clinical and financial perspective. Next slide. Again, same thing, doing this in real time. We think that we're very much disciplined about this. we recognize there will always be a need to do kind of more of the historical analysis and longitudinal studies, but we believe, you know, just as we demand it, you know, in our daily routines, that we want to be able to stream real-time observations. Again, think about those from our financial picture, our clinical picture, and certainly from our device picture. Next slide. And underneath the covers, I think this is what really, you know, we'll speak for Joe, but I think this excites him a little bit. Again, how can I help, you know, that movement of value to make sure I'm focused on the right, you know, the predictiveness of where those opportunities are, you know, to provide, you know, better care and more precision medicine. So again, you know, think about our historical way of doing this in much more of a classic, aggregated sense and kind of a 30-day, 60-day, 90-day look back. You know, certainly, you know, we have to keep doing that. But if I can get closer and closer, you know, to the edge of care, if I can get closer and closer to pulling this as real time as possible, you know, we believe the insights become that much better. And I think this is what's going to be demanded as we move forward in healthcare, because the risks get higher, the ability to meet the demands around value-based care, management of risk, and ultimately the overall care of our members and our patients, I think that doing this in a much more real-time fashion is going to be demanded. Next slide. And again, it's, we get our alerts. Heck, I got an app out here for my wife's Lexus, and I get more alerts from that about the software needs updated, it needs an oil change, et cetera. But, you know, think about being able to have those same preferences. So as an individual, you know, that what are the recommendations? When do you want to be alerted about whether a bill is due? When do you want to be alerted, you know, that something changed from your glucose level? Again, creating real-time notification alerts, just as you get them, you know, in your everyday life, my Delta flight is late, I'm getting an alert, you know, it's changed gates, you know, get that alert. Same concept, make my preferences. I don't want to be called after 8 o'clock at night. I do want to have my alert that comes to my mobile phone. And, oh, by the way, don't send me stacks of, you know, insurance forms or send me stacks of enrollment forms, because, you know, I'd rather have those on my phone in a digital fashion versus having a stack of 35 pieces of paper, which generally won't get read anyway. And I think that may be where we're going to open it up for a few questions with 5 minutes left. I'll pause there.
Well, first of all, I want to thank all of you for just an amazing presentation, from a, you know, very personal story to some solutions. It was fascinating. I want to thank you all. We do have some questions, and if we don't have time, I'll make sure that I send these questions to you all, and you can hopefully respond. But the first question here is, what is the motivation for providers to engage in EOC, followed by, did they share in savings?
So there are multiple motivations, but in particular, it's a new reimbursement model that allows them to earn more money by delivering on better outcomes, lower costs. So and so just very simply, if you're out there and you're thinking about how do I convince a provider to become involved in this process, when we went out and showed our orthopedic surgeons that the dollars they billed during a total joint replacement only accounted for 15 to 20% of the total episode cost, and then talked about the opportunities for savings within the total episode cost, and they recognized that the opportunity for savings generally weren't coming out of their fees, which they were still going to earn, but were coming out of areas that they knew that they could impact, and some of it could yield significant improvement in outcomes. They were very excited about participating, but they first had to understand that how from an insurance carrier standpoint, how we look at these episodes and what the total cost looks like, it's much bigger than just the things that they billed for. Yes, there is shared savings, so I think that was another part of the question, and most of our programs involve shared savings. Today, most do not involve downside risk, but we do have an expectation that as more and more of our providers become more experienced in these new models, they are going to come in and ask us to put them at risk if they're willing to take on or to earn a bigger share of the improved outcome.
Thank you. So I think we have time for one more question. This is also through the chat line. It's how much for these interfaces, I guess, they're so unique and the vendors on the other side don't always make it cost effective to interface.
Yeah, you want me to talk about that? Maybe, Joe, you can chime in a little bit.
And I'll gladly chat on the payer side, Dave, so if you want to take the first pass.
Yeah, no, that has definitely been a challenge in general. I think one of the things that is unique about Orion Health and even the partnership with TriZetto Cognizant is those interfaces obviously are pre-built between TriZetto and Orion, but also we've been doing interface work for over 15 years, and we have one of the better products, if not the best product on the market for interface building, and I think that's a critical aspect of it. But more importantly, it's having the DNA, the domain, to actually do it, because there isn't silver bullets to this stuff. You know, it's work, and a lot of times it requires a combo approach where Joe, Orion Health, TriZetto might go work with a specific partner if it's an ambulatory EMR and say, how do we make this beneficial to them so there isn't too much cost on the other side for the provider or physician group or even large IDN. So there definitely is challenges there. The challenges are starting to go away a little bit. The standards, like any standards, have derivatives that you have to deal with, and I think having the right tools helps you do it quicker. But having the right strategy and the right partnership is probably just as important as the technologies.
Yeah, and I'll add there real quick is just, you know, as we look at, you know, we have about 400 payers that we work with today that use our core technologies, our core stack, and really, you know, providing, you know, what I'll call our open API initiative to be able to pull more and more of the real time to put it into the platform. So we think that's at least an advantage, and certainly our heritage, you know, just as Dave has indicated, has been on the payer side. That's where we've been for a couple decades, called TriZetto Cognizant. And so I think it's never easy, but I think we've got a ton of experience, and we've got a pretty sizable footprint that we can leverage with our TriZetto Open API initiative to put it into the Transform platform.
Well, on that note, I think due to time, and I'm sorry to say we need to end the webinar, but I want to thank our speakers for such a fantastic presentation, really informative, and, of course, thank our sponsor, Orion. So I wish everyone a very good afternoon, and we look forward to seeing you on our next webinar. Thank you all.